Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
But over in chapter 2, verse 11, we have that first Christmas sermon, not preached by a human, but preached by an angel. And our center is, this morning we center on the heart of his message, which is verse 11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We want to just unpack these meaningful words in this one verse. First, the angel said, there is born. Christmas is all about birth, the birth of the Lord Jesus into the human race. God becoming man. Ponder that. Almighty God being willing to humble himself and take on humanity. That is even infinitely more humbling than to think of you being willing to become a maggot. And we all are repulsed at that thought. But we have far too high a view of ourselves and of humanity when it comes to comparing us with deity. But yet, Jesus was willing to take on humanity and through the Virgin Mary come into the human race so that he was totally God and at the same time totally man. Isaiah prophesied this in his book in chapter 7. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and you shall call, his name will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Now some have questioned the virgin birth. They say, why is it necessary? What's the difference? Why does it matter? Well, I want to say to you today that it is essential that the Lord Jesus be born of a virgin, that he not have an earthly father. Because if he'd had an earthly father, he would have had the sin nature that we all have, and he would have had the guilt of original sin, and he would not have been able not to sin. Just like you and I are unable not to sin. But instead, being born of the Holy Spirit, God being his Father, he did not have the sin nature that we have. And it was necessary that he have God's nature, that he be God, in order that he might offer a sacrifice worthy before the Father God. It was necessary that he be human, that he be one of us, that he might bear our sins on the cross. So the only way that the sins of his people could be paid for, the price be sufficiently paid, is for him to be both God and man. In order for that to take place, he had to be born of a virgin and not have an earthly father. So the angel says, for today in the city of David there has been born. Now look at those next two words. For you. Hallelujah. That's what makes it all important. That's what brings it down to be the good news. That he was born for you. He was born for these shepherds. He was born for all those that the Father had given him from eternity past. The ones that Jesus says, all those the Father has given me will come to me. The personal meaning of Christmas, born for you. And then the angel says, a Savior. That's the heart of the sermon. The supreme reason Jesus came was to save us. The angel told Joseph in a dream, prior to the birth of Jesus, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people, those the Father has given him, his chosen ones, from their sins. You see, the name Jesus means Savior. It's the New Testament name for the Old Testament Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. So within his very name was embodied his mission to be the Savior of the world. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, because we are dead in our trespasses and sins, because we are separated from a holy God, because we all have sinned, we all stand in the need of a Savior. And Jesus came that we might be saved first from the wrath of God. For Romans 5 says, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. God has a holy hatred towards sin. His holiness, His righteousness requires that it be so. How could He be a holy God and not hate sin? And because you and I have sinned, His holy wrath is poured out on the ungodly and unrighteous, which we all are. But Jesus was willing to take that wrath of God upon Himself so that through His blood, we could be saved from God's wrath. God poured out His anger over our sins on the Lord Jesus on the cross. His anger was spent. It was done away with. And therefore, we can stand before Him in the Lord Jesus, covered in His blood, free from God's anger. He also saved us from the power of sin. Romans 6:11. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. He separated His own from the power of sin in our lives. We're born with that sin nature, but through His death on the cross, and when our old man died with Him on the cross, that power of sin was broken over us. And therefore, we can say no to sin. He also saved us from the condemnation of the law. We all stand as lawbreakers. Which one of us has not broken the law of God? Have you ever had hatred in your heart? Then you've broken one of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? We all have. Because we're sinners. So we are under the condemnation of the law if we try to stand before God based on the law. But what did Jesus do? He came as a man, lived perfectly, obeyed the law of God perfectly, never sinned in word, thought, or deed. And when we place our faith in what He accomplished, God says, I'm going to give you the righteousness of Jesus. As we see in Romans 10:4, it says, for Christ is the fulfillment of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. He is the completion of the law of righteousness for everyone who places their faith in Him. God says, I will take the perfect obedience of Jesus. And when you place your faith in what He accomplished, I'm going to give you that perfect obedience. I'm going to lay it right at your door. It is yours. But not only did Jesus come to be our Savior from certain things, but better than that, He saved us to certain things. He saved us to a right standing before God. As we see in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin, that was Jesus, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might have the, look, righteousness of God in Him. He took our sin on Himself and gave us His righteousness, the great exchange. And we came out ahead on that one. He got our sins, we got His righteousness. So He saved us to a right standing before God. He saved us to a new life. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. You're talking about wiping the slate clean. God does better than that. He puts a new slate out there. Old things have passed away. Behold, comes the new. We are new creatures in Christ. We have a new life in Christ. He has saved us to be fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, heirs also. Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Christians are fellow heirs with Jesus. Co-heirs. Everything He will inherit in eternity, we will inherit in eternity. When God brings us into His family, when we become one of His children, we become heirs with the Lord Jesus. You see, Jesus came to be the Savior so that we might know God. That we might savor His beauty. That we might have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus. You see, God is the gospel. All of these things that He accomplished are nothing if they don't bring us to God and to reflect and enjoy His beauty and who He is. Jesus came to manifest, to make God known to us. He was the visible expression of the invisible God. He was the exact image, the flashing forth, the radiance of God's glory. And He saved us so that we could behold our God. He alone is the Savior of the world. Peter preached in Acts and said, "There is salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven that's been given among men whereby we must be saved." No other way. Only Jesus. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius. Nobody but Jesus. You say, "Preacher, that's being narrow-minded." It's being biblical. That's what it's being. It's being biblical. That's what God says in His Word. "Well, unto you is born this day a Savior." Then He says, "Who is Christ?" The Messiah. Christ means Messiah. It means anointed one. The long-awaited promised Messiah. That one that God had promised from hundreds of years would come to be the Savior. His anointed one. Isaiah 9:6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." The shepherds didn't understand what that all meant when the angel told them, "Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited one is here, the anointed one is here." It would take Jesus unfolding that revelation to us as He walked among us. And then He said, "The Lord, the Savior, Christ the Lord, the ruler of the universe, the Almighty One." That babe in the manger was holding the universe together by the word of His power. It's beyond our imagination and understanding. But He is the Lord. He is the ruler of all, the upholder of the universe, the Lord of all lords and King of all kings. It is beyond our comprehension and understanding. He's the Lord of life. He's the Lord of death. He's the Lord of time. He's the Lord of all. Is He your Lord? Paul says, "For this reason, Jesus both died and lived again, that He might be Lord of both the living and the dead." Is He your Savior? Is He your Christ? Is He your Lord? Have you come to a place in your life that you realized, you know, I've blown it. I cannot live this life the way God would have me to live it. I just can't do it. I've fallen short of God's perfect holiness. And I need help. I know I need help. I know apart, if I'm left like I am, I'm bound for an eternity separated from God. But do you realize that Jesus came and lived that perfect life you could not live? He took your place on the cross. You and I should have been on that cross. We deserved it, but He took our place. And He rose again from the dead because death could not hold Him. And He is alive today. And he says to you and to me, I've done everything necessary for you to have your sins forgiven, for you to have a life with God in eternity. I've done everything necessary for you to know God. All you need to do is reach out in faith and embrace and ask me to be your Savior. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon Jesus today? Will you surrender all you are to all that He is? You say, but preacher, I got things in my life that I know God is not pleased with. Are you willing to turn away from those things? Now, you cannot do that in your own strength. You haven't been able to do it so far in your life. What makes you think you can do it in the next part of your life? You cannot. But He says, be willing. And I'll give you the power to turn away from that which is not pleasing to me. Are you willing to come to Him and say, Lord, I give my all to You and receive Your all unto myself? I pray today that if you've not come to that place, that you'll come today as we sing our hymn of response and you'll step out. What better day to come to know Jesus than on Christmas? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do welcome You, and I'm glad that You have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our minister of community connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous Ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mableton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from, it doesn't matter your cultural background, I want you to know you are welcome at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.